Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, do your daily practice. Today, have a focus on gratitude for what you have. And here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello. Hi. This is Laura in Berkeley.
Laura, we missed you day before yesterday. You feeling better?
I am finally today starting to feel better. So I'm very grateful for that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, indeed. All right.
What I've been looking at with this focus is relationships at work and kind of the sense that I'm never doing enough at work, and that people are always judging me, like that I'm kind of the sense that I'm always being watched at work, you know, that I always kind of have to keep up performance and hide things from people and make sure that it seems like I'm doing more than I am, or, you know, like, kind of have to be secretive, kind of have to, like, just seem that, like, I'm not enough as I am, so I've kind of got to hide.
Yeah. And so, of course, with this awareness, you realize you are being watched at work all the time.
Yeah.
By conditioning, right?
Yeah.
So it is then keeping you in a conversation about what other people think and how you need to be this way and you need to be that way. And so that's just perfect, isn't it? Because it can control you all the time, because it gets you to believe that it's not it watching you, it's those other people.
Yeah, that was one of the big beliefs and assumptions, was that people care what my schedule is. Because mostly about, like, schedule, like, oh, God, you know, I got in late, and I'm leaving for this appointment, and, you know, like, and self-care stuff, you know, like, so of course it's like, oh, no, you couldn't do that self-care thing, because what would people think, you know?
Uh-huh.
And sort of like, do any of my coworkers actually care what my schedule is? And as far as I can tell, I have no evidence of that.
Uh-huh. None. The only evidence is something you hear inside your head, right?
Yeah.
And so does that same voice get you to watch and criticize them? Or do you pretty much not care what they're doing?
For the most part, only the people I directly supervise do it. I find myself doing a little bit of that, you know. My other coworkers, I don't really notice or care what they're doing, you know. But I do notice people I supervise, like, okay, I've got to control them and make sure they're, you know.
Uh-huh.
also kind of because what would people think if someone that I supervise is not, you
uh-huh.
know.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They're little mini-me's, aren't they? So they're going to, ego's got to control them the way it controls you, because they're going to reflect on you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, good to see, huh?
Yeah. Yes, my practice has been just asking, like, what if this is enough? Like, just sort of, like, I guess this is just sort of in general. Like, what if just this moment, what if this is enough? You know?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And again, my favorite with this, what the voices say is blah, blah, blah. And that's a lie. What's really true is, and just to reinforce that for yourself, until when it tries that on you, what pops into your head is, that's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you train yourself that those two go together. those statements and that's a lie start going together.
Yeah.
You see?
And I have a playlist to listen to it at lunchtime at work, so I think I could add that there. That would work well.
Uh-huh. That'll fit in nicely. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. I'm glad you're feeling better. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Laura. It's sort of why we use all of these different sort of attitude of mind processes in the last 7 days, right, Cherry? Gratitude for what you have is such an antidote for not being enough.
Yes.
Which is such a classic self-hate place.
Yes.
Appreciation is contradiction, is the antidote to negation. Kindness is the antidote to mean, right? And so it's actually designed for us to have our attention on the qualities of conscious compassion and awareness and recognize that that is what we are. That is what we can experience if we're not listening to a conversation in conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, just when you said that, it has the ability, we're trained for the entire universe to come down to one little tiny thing, and that which happens to be a lie, but it's the little tiny thing it can get us to focus on moment by moment by moment by moment by moment that strings together a false belief that there's that there's something wrong, that there's a problem, that we're lacking. Yeah.
Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Julian calling from Portland.
Hello, Julian.
Hello. Good morning. Well, I've been looking at my relationship with my partner who I live with, and my practice focus has been just practicing reflecting her, particularly when I feel like there's a conflict happening between us, and trying to resist the voice that says, you know, fix this, this is bad, this is dangerous, this is, you know, any number of things.
Make her not feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And something that I found kind of interesting in the last week is, it's very difficult for me to stay in that place of reflecting when she is talking about other people in her life that she is frustrated with or doesn't like or has issues with. I think there's some voice coming up in me that's like, oh, she can't dislike other people, or I'm really uncomfortable with her dislike of other people. And there's like a judgment coming up with her being frustrated with how she gets stuck in something that I project is like a drama between two people.
So you get frustrated with her frustration?
Yeah, I get frustrated with her frustration.
Uh-huh. And what do you see about that? Is it not okay for you to have those kinds of things in relationships?
You know, I suspect that that is probably the case. I think that ego is voicing it in this way that's like, oh, it's a waste of time to focus on conflict with other people. It just keeps you caught in that content, you know, just ignore it, just move on. There are other things to put attention on. And I suspect it's kind of like a sneaky kind of fake practice voice maybe that I'm hearing.
Yeah. And of course, what I suspect you know very well from practice is that the quickest way for us to help somebody, assist somebody to move on from something, is to help them truly experience what's going on with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, ego would try to stop you from doing that, because that keeps the whole drama alive, right? She gets caught in these dramas of frustration and dislike of other people. You get caught in the drama of being frustrated with her because she is being in these dramas what that does is keep the drama between the two of you, whether she knows about it or not, the drama between the two of you alive, and ego is just scoring points in every direction.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Basically, my experience when I'm listening to her talk and then I'm having these feelings is just creating a whole drama for me to engage in,
yeah,
right alongside,
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So that way, you know, you don't have to be jealous because you get to participate in her dramas as well. It's not just other people who get to participate with her in these dramas. You get to, too. Which is kind of a bizarre notion, but sometimes I think there's some validity to it. So if you practice your communication skills and really assist her to feel heard and understood and get clear about what's really going on with her, then it'd be interesting to see how that started playing out with the two of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. Well, I can't wait for that communication book I keep hearing.
I know.
About.
It's on its way. As soon as this call is over, we're devoting ourselves to it all day long. So I'm getting hopeful, Julian. I'm hopeful.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, deep gratitude for that. Thank you for that work.
Right.
And great to make contact.
Yeah. Good to hear from you. Take care. Go happy.
Bye. You too.
Thanks, Julian. Sherry, that just has sort of demonstrated the whole of this this month's focus, right? So we started with it's the other person and what's going on for them that makes me, that is the problem. And we've mm-hmm. said, no, don't look out there. Look at what's going on for you. So once we get mm-hmm. in touch with what's going on for us, once we accept what's going on for us and then can get on the recorder and really explore that, then it's less likely that that's what's going to be informing our relationship with someone else. Now we're free to be present to them and assist them to do the same. I think mm-hmm. it's something we looked at in the facilitation book is that one of the greatest benefits of facilitation is to assist someone else get out of a relationship with conditioned mind.
Yeah.
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 Which, of course,
okay,
if we're
yeah.
in, we can't do that. But so
right.
first
right.
we facilitate ourselves, and then we facilitate someone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving
All
from
right.
ego problems to life opportunities, from
so
separation to closeness.
Yes. Yeah, so why am I frustrated by this person? Right. Because if I get past my conditioning to what's really going on for me, I'm much more present to what's going on for me rather than living in a story about that.
Right. And I hate it when people are identified with conditioning. It because I get identified with conditioning. So if they would just
yes.
stop getting identified
yes.
with conditioning, I wouldn't get. Yeah. Again, it's
yes.
like putting the kids in time out, right?
Yes. So, yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Barbara in Chicago.
Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
What do you think?
Wow. I'm seeing ego in every single aspect of relationship and beyond.
It's everywhere.
It really feels a little overwhelming, but I've heard you say, I don't know, something you said a while ago that feels like my experience right now is that we don't have any idea who we are, something
yep.
like that.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for that. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
We don't know. We know nothing. We
yeah.
truly, we know nothing, starting with who is that human being named Barbara? Who
yeah.
is that?
I don't know.
Thinks and says she is. That's right. That's right. Isn't that good?
It's
a whole
it is,
new relationship.
It's good. Yeah. Yes. It's good because, if I can move out of the overwhelm, then I can turn my attention to look at and discover who she is.
Yes, And my encouragement is, first, turn your attention to the overwhelm. Right? Because if you're attending to the overwhelm, you are not the overwhelm. That's that looking at conditioned mind instead of through it. So first become an expert on overwhelm. What does it feel like? What are the sensations? What do the voices say? What do you believe about it? What, you know, all of that stuff. So that you get really clear, well, that's not me. That's ego. Okay, now what? And you will have learned something about her in that process too, right? Mm-hmm. Because she is what is able to do the observing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I, as you say that, what I see about overwhelm is that that's just another way. That's just another way of being stuck in the same place.
Yes. Yeah. That's ego masquerading as Barbara, saying, "Oh, I can't deal with this. It's just too much. It's just I just can't." And so that's where we step back and go, "Okay, I know you can't." So let's deal with that. Let's get clear about that little drama, right?
Yeah.
And then ego will come up with the next thing.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I'm confused. I don't understand. What? How can I? Okay. Well, let's focus on that. What is confusion? What do the voices say? What does it feel like? What does that mean? What is?
This whole organization of this retreat is so helpful, and as Ashwini was just speaking to, this turning attention to kindness and gratitude is really helping me find life here. I don't know how to say it. But,
Yes, that's perfect, because when you turn your attention to overwhelm when ego hits you over the head with that. Mm-hmm. And you turn your attention to kindness to have a sense of who you are.
That feels like what's happening. And I just feel so grateful for this, being able to see this. As I start to look at that, one of the things I've seen about ego is that I'll talk about it on a recording, and then I'll lose my energy. It's like I really can feel my, I don't know, it's like my, I feel
it being
ego
sucked
coming
out of
in.
You?
I feel like it's something's coming in and taking away
any
joy. You know, just, I feel my affect flattening out. I can hear and feel all of those things being taken. I feel myself being taken over.
Okay. Now that is important. That is a critical insight. Because and the next time it happens, this is what I want you to watch for, okay? Notice that you are the awareness that is aware of that.
You can
feel the body, you can feel the energy drain, and you can you can feel all of that. But you're there, and that awareness is crystal clear, and it's watching the whole thing happen.
I think I'm seeing that.
And then the next fun thing to do, and when you've seen all of that, yell, "I see you," and watch the energy just flood back into your body.
Okay. You can do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I see you.
I see
And ego just it just collapses. It dissolves.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Oh,
and
so
you'll
good.
Let me know, won't you?
I will. Thank you so much for all of
Thank
this.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go happy.
Yes, go happy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Barbara. That's such a fun exercise.
Sure.
It really is. Grab the energy for yourself, for life.
Yeah. Gotcha, ego. Gotcha. I see you.
Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Tony from Athens.
Tony!
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Ashwini.
What are you seeing?
Oh, wow. I so appreciate this month's focus and what it has come to for me. So this is one of the most intense work times for me is the month of June and July. It's very intense with kids and teenagers and all these people all day long. And mm-hmm. so I focus in on that. And my tendency has been to, and I've talked to you about it before, but it's like I'm frantically preparing and arranging and just the
staying
motivation.
Up too late at night and
yes,
mm-hmm. not doing okay, fun things and not taking care of yourself and all those kinds of things.
Yes, yes. Though I will admit I'm pretty much pretty regularly going back to sleep early or good at a good time.
Good.
I've really gotten that part. I mean, sometimes I can't even help it. I'm like just crashing. it's all in service of to make sure that the students don't get out of control, so I won't get out of control, so I won't yell or get impatient and say something hurtful. But the focus and the questions, I got to really examine that. And the whole thing is I'm going to be haunted for the rest of my life if I got impatient with a child.
Mm.
And I realized that the few times it's ever happened, I don't even remember hardly anything about it. So the whole idea of being haunted is
yeah, what's haunting you is the fear that ego is instilling, right? That's what's
exactly.
haunting you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's
wow.
it's just been huge to see through all of that, to see through those lies, that being haunted is a lie. That I even get impatient anymore is a lie. I've worked at this. I'm really good at, you know, I don't. And when I take care of myself and I'm kind to myself and I'm really compassionate to myself, of course I'm kind and compassionate to everyone around me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that.
And, of course, sometimes compassion can look like something other than conditioning's version of nice.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Like, I can be firm. I can be, okay,
yeah.
everybody, we're going to have a moment of silence right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As much for me
yeah.
as anybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that, and it's just been great. And then the behavior change is when that high drive starts pushing me, my commitment is to stop and take 3 to 5
moments.
Yeah. Yeah. And
uh-huh.
just breathe, just count, you know, my breath and I've been able to do it. Not in the past, haven't been able to always, but I don't know what it is about just, what, you know, the questions and seeing through things.
Well,
I've
you've been practicing,
to,
my dear. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
And conditioning wants people to believe it's always going to be this way. It's just hopeless. It's never going to change it. No. It is different, right? We practice and
yeah.
we see things and we change. We do.
Yes, it's really, and it's wonderful, and it makes a huge difference in how I am with the students, how I feel at the end of the day, and I'm the kind of teacher I wanted to be, and it's kind and present and empathetic and
mm-hmm.
wise and, you know, clear.
Supportive, yeah, encouraging.
And supportive, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Tony, what you're saying is the whole deal, right? So we hear, you know, people want to be compassionate, but they treat themselves horribly because they allow
mm-hmm.
self-hate to beat them up all the time and that sort of thing. And so we all know you can't be with other people any way other than the way you are with yourself. You know, people can fake
mm-hmm.
it for a while, but it's just not going to work. And so what you're seeing play out in your life is as these changes happen in you, it's just happening everywhere with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not having to twist yourself into a knot to do it, right? It's just natural. It's just who you are.
Yeah, and it's really easier. It's a lot easier to do it.
Oh,
to happen that way.
Yes, it can all happen with muscles relaxed.
Mm. Oh, I love that.
which yeah. makes the end of the day a pleasant thing instead of a time for being beaten into collapse.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that makes me very happy for you.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you, and Esmini, for the focus on the assignments and the calls and everything, because it really works.
It does, so, doesn't it? It's so good. Thank you, Tony.
Oh, thank
you.
So
happy.
Thank you so much. I will.
I know.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tony. Oh, I love to hear about practice successes, Sherry. And transformations. And I believe we have time for one more caller. So here we go.
Lovely.
Next caller, you are live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Ladima.
Hi, Ladima. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
I didn't
think we would have time for anybody else, so I sort of started working again. Here we go.
No. Here you are.
I was ready for the go happy. Okay, anyway, so the thing that I've noticed is in doing the two-handed recording with the young one inside of me, which
mm-hmm.
is, I guess you could say, the relationship that I've been looking at a lot, something you said a while ago, Sherry, I don't know exactly when, but it was something about having... When you're doing the two-handed recording, you're allowing the one who had the experience to have
mm-hmm.
the experience, because maybe the experience was to whatever, the first when it
mm-hmm.
happened in history.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, combined with other kind of inputs, things that have dropped in, when I did a two-handed recording, I really paid attention to what it felt like in my body,
mm-hmm.
both as the one, you know, on both sides of the two
mm-hmm.
hands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was huge.
Yeah, yeah. So to catch everybody up with the experience that you're describing, something awful happens to a child, something truly traumatic. And in the next probably matter of seconds, the child moves into survival mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is going to enable her to survive is what she moves to. And the child to whom that happened gets left there, right? And then we go on. And ego eventually takes over. Turns it into a story. This is what happened to me. And that we're just completely divorced from the experience and the one who had the experience. So what you're describing in that two-handed recording is going back and letting that child who actually had the experience talk about having that experience.
Yeah.
And as you say, you can feel it in your body. It's not then. The past is now happening in the present. Right? You're not going back into the past. What we call the past is now in the present. And you're experiencing that right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I think what was different this time, or what I saw different this time, was just how much I could feel it in my body.
Yes.
As opposed to just the talking.
That's right. That's right. And I'm guessing, I'm projecting this, that in feeling it so clearly in your body currently, you can feel how that's always there, but you
yeah.
never understood what it was, what it was connected to. Right? Because you know you knew those sensations. I mean, it's not like it never happened to you before, right? Which is something that it's such a huge part of the healing, because we have all these, as adults, we have all these sensations going on that are triggering all kinds of stories and beliefs and assumptions. And, you know, they're just connections that were made by children who didn't understand the world. And then as adults, we continue to live it out. So all those sensations are there, but now you have a chance to see what they really are connected to. Not all the beliefs and assumptions, but how they really got started. And you have the opportunity to dissolve that connection.
Right. And I think I saw it more on the side of the healing part of the conversation where the adult was with the child.
Yes.
And, let me hold, you know, like the feeling of being held on someone's lap and, mm-hmm. you know, sort of both being the holder and the held.
Yes.
And what that really felt like and really felt it. It wasn't just talking about it. It was really feeling it in my body.
That's right.
And the huge difference that that made.
Yes, yes. And for practice, what's going to come out of it. Now, that child, of course, is fine. That's all she ever wanted, right? She just wanted to be accepted for having the experience she's having, whatever that is. But for you, so if say, that trauma resulted in a fear of letting people get close. So the adult is living out a fear of letting people get close. Okay? Because of all of these permutations that happened over time, the beliefs, the assumptions, the stories, the ego, you know, how ego uses it to cause separation and all that, that can be dissolved now because mm-hmm. that child was never afraid of letting people get close. Right? And when she's held, and she's accepted, and she's welcomed, and valued, appreciated, loved, adored, she's happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes.
Good job.
Thanks.
Well done. Thank you, Ladima.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thanks, Ladima. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show and our assignment for today. Do your daily mm-hmm. practice. It's time to celebrate. How are you going to do that? Alone, with a partner, with a friend, with a crowd, with a party? Have that celebration.
Don't neglect that celebration.
Mm-mm.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
So happy.
So happy.